Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae is returning record amounts of money to Mississippians, whether it's through the College and Career Savings Program or the hundreds of millions in unclaimed money awaiting your claim. Treasurer David McRae says get your applications and claims in today. Treasury.ms.gov.
Welcome in. Have you recovered yet? Glad you're here on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Really appreciate you being here. And let's talk about it. Didn't yesterday, obviously. We've got Ole Miss, LSU to discuss on this edition of the show. Again, we were not live. So if you're on the podcast feed and you're wondering where the hell is the post game, did not do one yesterday. We did not get back until about 11 o'clock. Getting out of town was a pain in the butt yesterday. So, we got home. We're safe. We're all good. But it did take us forever, so no postgame. So this will serve as your postgame. So glad that you guys are here on this edition of the show. My name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, like, all that good stuff. And also, wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And leave a rating and a review. And before we get into anything else, this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com, off of exit 40 in Brookhaven if you're in the area. But if you want a great car buying experience, don't just shop with somebody down the street out of convenience. The car buying experience should not be a convenience thing. It is a delicate process, and you want to shop with people that are going to treat it delicately. And that's what they'll do at Toyota of Brookhaven. They'll take care of you. They'll also give you $1,000 off on me, any in-stock new Toyota, before anything else. Off the top, $1,000 off on me. Check them out, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. They will deliver. Let's start with a mea culpa. Let's start with that before we get into the box score or anything else. If you guys listen to me every day or once a week or only on the radio show or only here, you have heard me talk about my concerns with the offensive line. I think those concerns were justified. We were prove it. We were in prove it mode, but I definitely had concerns and I was not sold after wins over lesser opponents. Boy, am I sold now. Almost 500 yards of offense against that defense requires excellent offensive line play. I still think there might be one more tweak, maybe personnel that gets changed by season's end. But by and large, absolutely yes. I will not ask those questions that I've been asking anymore. Those guys performed outstanding. And because we never actually talk about individual players on the offensive line, let's just do it. Diego Pounds, Delano Townsend, Bryson Sanders, Patrick Kutis, and Jaden Williams, and anybody else that spelled them during the game. I haven't looked at the snap count yet. Excellent job. I had questions. I had doubts. And my questions and my doubts were wrong because they were awesome on Saturday. Again, that is a very, very legitimate LSU defense. I one of the most bizarre fan behaviors, I've told you guys this before, is when people say, well, oh, LSU's not that good, obviously. Oh, no, they are. On defense, anyway. That is a special LSU defense. There's talent, very expensive talent, all over the field. They've got NFL players everywhere. And that Ole Miss offense, I thought the play calling was outstanding from Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. Trinidad made a really bad mistake. He could have taken off and run and gotten a first down first, forced a ball through an interception. But the play calling was outstanding. Quarterback play was very good. Receivers made great plays, but none of that is possible without quality offensive line play. And Ole Miss got quality offensive line play on Saturday. So kudos to those guys. I will not ask questions anymore. They've got challenges ahead. Oklahoma's outstanding up front. Georgia's going to be really, really difficult up front. South Carolina's got a couple of dudes as well that'll give them a hard time. But, man, the way they're schemed, the way they're playing, really good stuff from the Ole Miss offensive line on Saturday. All right, let's go through the box score. But quickly, I want to look at team stats because I'm going to have a take here. And if you're just looking at the score, without having actually watched the game, you'll think I'm crazy. Ole Miss was, I think, the significantly better football team on Saturday. The score doesn't reflect how much better Ole Miss is, or was at least on Saturday, than LSU, because again, it's 24-19 being the final there. So you think, oh, it's only a 5-point game. It was really close. Ole Miss outplayed LSU in all of these categories. Okay. First downs, 28-16. Rushing yards, 166-57. Ole Miss's defense. I know LSU already struggled running the football. We talked about it all week, but still held LSU to 57 rushing yards, 2.6 per carry. Ole Miss held LSU to. Ole Miss ran for 3.7 against that defense. You'll take that. That's a really, really good LSU defense. 176 yards on the ground, and then you had, you know, loss of 10. Anyway, 166 for Ole Miss to 57 for LSU rushing. 3.7 per carry to 2.6 per carry. Passing yards, 314 for Ole Miss, 197 for LSU. 8 yards per pass attempt to 5.8 for LSU. 14 yards per completion for Ole Miss, 9.4 for LSU. Obviously, they won the total yard battle, 480 to 254. 480 to 254. More than 1 yard per play on average, Ole Miss outgained LSU. The difference in this game, the only thing that really kept it close, was penalties. Ole Miss had 14 for 109 yards. 14 penalties for 109 yards. And Caden Lee's fumble. Caden Lee's fumble going into the end zone would have really made this game look a lot less close than it was. Ole Miss lined up and was better than LSU. Got off to a weird start. A lot of penalties. Gave up a long pass play that set up LSU's first touchdown. That was a tip drill anyway. Ball probably could have been intercepted. It wasn't, but it probably could have. Ole Miss thoroughly outplayed LSU, but when you look beyond just the final score, Ole Miss was better in basically every meaningful statistical category by a rather significant margin. It was a dismantling of LSU, despite the score and the spread only being 5. That game very well could have been a blowout. I think if Caden Lee doesn't fumble, Ole Miss wins by 3 scores. But he did, and it was close, and that also is another important factor here before we get into individual stats. Ole Miss yet again for the third SEC win before the month of October, which is the first time in program history, by the way. I looked that up last night, which I assume is a pretty rare thing for every program because the way games are scheduled, you just don't play 3 conference games before October very often, if ever. First time Ole Miss has ever won 3 SEC games before the calendar turns to October. And in each one, there were tight moments and tight spots where Ole Miss 2024 faltered and lost the game 3 times out of 4. I mean, Georgia was close. I guess Oklahoma could be close as well. Maybe you want to throw State in there, sure. But they had 3 losses where they were the better team and their opponent outplayed them. Their opponent out-executed them. Their opponent made the right plays. Ole Miss made the mistakes. Here Ole Miss was again. Trinidad had an interception. They weren't perfect, but Ole Miss executed late. LSU did not. Ole Miss was the better team. Ole Miss executed. They were not tight. The plan was good. The play calling was good. The execution was good. They could run the football with some effectiveness because of the aforementioned offensive line. Another tight spot where Ole Miss was better in the tight spot, and that goes a long way. Last year's team has, at least 2 losses by now, regardless of the talent level being different on defense. So really, really impressive stuff for Ole Miss to yet again execute in tight spots and be the better team when it mattered most. All right, quick box score stuff. Trinidad, Chambliss, I think that the debate is over. Trinidad Chambliss is your starting quarterback now. I understood the arguments from the other side with, you know, Simmons is the future. You want to develop him. You don't want to give up on him. I understood all those. I don't understand those now if they still exist. Trinidad just beat a top 5 team. And he played well in the process. And even after he made a mistake, he locked in and played well. That is an exceptional defense. And he threw for 314 yards and ran for another 71. He is your starting quarterback. He gives you – the best chance to win games and make the playoff this season. And Ole Miss is a team that now can, and you should expect them to, make the playoff this season. All they have to do now is go 3-2 in the SEC. That's all they have to do, is go 3-2 in the SEC and then make the playoff. So Trinidad is your best chance to do that. He has completely wally-pipped Austin Simmons, and I hate it for Austin. Maybe they can shut him down and get him truly healthy, and I don't know. I don't care about 2026. I don't care about 2027. I don't think in the position that Ole Miss is currently in, you should consider NIL. You should consider what you're paying one versus the other, which Simmons is making a lot more than Chambliss, obviously. I don't think you should consider next year. You just beat a top five team. You're 3-0 in the SEC. He is your guy. He executes the offense well. His running ability opens things up. He's really accurately throwing the football down the field. He's making smart. He's made one bad decision in three games. He's beating people with his legs. His teammates very clearly like him. He's smart with the football, generally speaking. He is your quarterback. You have to continue with him. You cannot go back to Austin Simmons. I think it would be kind of a slap in the face to Trinidad at this point. And I just don't think Ole Miss is in this position right now with what Austin Simmons presented to you in the first two games. I don't think that you give up on – you don't sell your Austin Simmons stock, but for this team and this season and right now, you can't play anybody else at the quarterback position. Kewon Lacy was exceptional in this game, 87 yards on 23 carries and a touchdown. He just is so hard to tackle. His vision's good. His balance is good. That LSU defense is super fast and super athletic, and he had a really good game yet again, and especially in pass protection. Ole Miss's running backs are really, really good there. Was happy to see Logan Diggs get a touchdown against his former team. It's been a long journey for him, and that was a pretty cool moment there. Receiving, I mean, Trinidad just distributed the football. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different pass catchers for Ole Miss in this game. Caden Lee bounced back after the fumble, had a touchdown, 70 yards on 4 catches. Daquan Wright was awesome in this game. That one-handed behind-the-back catch that he had was special. Really heads-up, selfless play to just kind of sit on his butt after they converted the fourth down. Daquan Wright is a star. Deuce Alexander with 64 very important yards on 3 catches. Winston Watkins playing in this game, having 3 catches. Caleb Oldham had a couple of very important catches. Kewon Lacy was good there. Trey Wallace only had 1 catch, but it went for 18 yards. Dejon Stribling had a couple. One of them went for a first down. Just distributing the football, using all of their weapons. That is, this offense has just been so good under Trinidad, and he is not hyper-focused on one guy. They're really distributing the football well and using all of their weapons and using the full field and being so creative. Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. have called awesome offense under Trinidad. Have been really, really awesome. Suntarian Perkins led the Rebels in tackles. He was all over the place. Cam Franklin was really good, had 1.5 tackles for loss. TJ Dottery was great in space, had a couple of big tackles in space for Ole Miss in this game. Will Eccles had a big sack. He's really coming on. Wydette Williams with the interception. That was a big play. That guy was playing for Delta State 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Wydette Williams was playing for Delta State. He goes to ULM, and now he's intercepting Garrett Nussmeier in a top five win in the SEC. Sage Ryan, again, a guy that was absolutely hated by LSU fans, and they celebrated and they were happy that he was gone, and he played well in a win. Ole Miss's best game defensively by far. Garrett Nussmeier was only, I mean, he threw 34 passes for 197 yards, did have a touchdown, and they picked him off in this game. And then, as you guys know, LSU ran for 57 yards on 2.6 yards per carry. LSU struggled running the football, but the fact that Nussmeier and those receivers were held to under 200 yards is a testament to Ole Miss's secondary and also some pressure that Nussmeier was under from the defensive line. Outstanding just game overall. Ole Miss has got to clean up penalties. Not all of them were bad officiating. Now, some of them were, but not all of them. They've got to clean up the penalties if they want to keep winning games like that. You know, you can be super hyper-focused on little things, and you know the coaches are going to be. But that was an awesome win, a massive win, and one of those things that can be program elevating. Now they have to capitalize on the opportunity that they've presented themselves. This was supposed to be a rebuilding year. You're not in rebuilding mode anymore. You look at some of your opponents, Mississippi State. I know they lost on Saturday, but they're better. So you look at that game a little bit differently, but also Florida, you look at that game differently. South Carolina did get a win, but you look at that game differently than you did going into the season. John Mateer should be back for Oklahoma, so that'll be a really difficult place. But Georgia, very vulnerable are the Georgia Bulldogs. Very good, but that game doesn't look like an impossibility anymore. Again, you've already got three SEC wins. So can you go 3-2 down the stretch and not lose to Washington State and the Citadel? If you do that, then you're making the playoff. It is really that simple. So they've put themselves in prime opportunity going into the bye week to be that team. They are good enough to get there now. They just have to maintain this offensive balance and this level of comfort playing in tight spots, because they've done that three of the last 4 weeks. Game has been tight, and they've looked comfortable and executed in those tight spots. So massive win for Ole Miss, obviously. And we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Check them out at Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, so let's get to the comments. Again, I'm sorry, guys, about last night missing it, but we just got home late. First off, got to ask about you and the little man. How was your time at the game? What did you think of that electric atmosphere? Oh, he had a great time. He absolutely had a great time. We walked down the Walk of Champions, and all of the fraternity guys that were lined up right by the arch, every single one of them were given a high five. That was cool. He loved that. He is such a people person right now. He just wants to talk and acknowledge everybody. So he loved that. That was his favorite part, I think, besides the B2. But I mean, when the game was electric like that, of course, an almost 6-year-old's going to have a great time. But that, what you guys have created in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium is something that I never expected it to be like, because I have been to Ole Miss games. I have been to big Ole Miss games that had good, lively crowds that still didn't know, quote unquote, how to act in big games, right? They would only, you know, create real noise on third down in big spots, and they were very easily silenced, right? And it can still get even better. Like, there's still room to grow for an environment. And as you guys already know, the way the stadium is built makes it difficult to be, you know, super duper loud, right? Because it's just built so flat instead of up. But after Ole Miss goes 3-and-out on their opening possession, games that I've been to in the past, LSU's first couple of snaps would have been a little bit quiet. Or not like that anyway. And basically every LSU defensive down, you had a fully engaged, like, stadium-wide, I have to make noise or else my team is going to lose kind of crowd. And that hasn't always been the case in that stadium. Not anywhere close. That has not been anywhere close to what that stadium has been, even for big games in the past. So, again, there's still room to grow. The purge thing apparently was worse before. I still don't quite understand what they were trying to do there. But the in-game ops people, the music people, the through those long commercial breaks, keeping people kind of into it and the energy up was really good, because the TV timeouts and stuff in college football games is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And Greg Sankey sits back and basically just says, deal with it, because we're printing money, so who cares? It's a joke that you guys have to sit there that long. Well, those of you that are in the stadium for timeouts, it's unbelievable that they've allowed this to happen. But hey, if your team keeps winning, nobody's going to care. Four feels too high. Why is America suddenly higher on the Rebels than most of Rebel Nation is? Are you guys not high on your team? You should be. You should be. You should be. They've earned that spot. They have three SEC wins. They've absolutely earned that ranking. Props to the fans for not storming. The program is beyond that now. Expect to win games like this. Absolutely. Lane Kiffin's comments after the game were funny about how that fine would have paid for half of one of LSU's DBs. It's really funny. Just hope Ole Miss doesn't have a letdown. Keep the foot on the gas against Georgia and Oklahoma and so on. I mean, look, I don't think they're going undefeated, but they will lose a game. That doesn't necessarily mean it'll be a letdown, of course. It's, you know, look around the country. This is a volatile year in college football, and they've got good teams upcoming. I think Ole Miss is going to lose a game, possibly two. I would be shocked at three at this point. There'd have to be, knock on wood, there'd have to be lots of injuries stacking up for them to get to three at this point, in my opinion. I think I've changed my prediction for whatever it's worth. I think they will win 10 and they will go to the playoff. That is just my prediction, right? But they are not playing like a team that is capable of a true letdown where they kind of lay an egg and play like crap and lose a game. They have losable games, but they haven't to this point been a team that will lose to the worst team in the SEC like last year's did. Only midway through year six, but this has to be Lane's best coaching job so far. Massive props to Charlie Weiss Jr. It's been outright excellent this season. Yes, the play calling on Saturday, the timing of everything was beautiful. It just felt like, and of course, offense looks great when players are making plays, but it felt like everything they're doing with Trinidad at quarterback is so purposeful. Using crossers really well, using the tight end well, using his legs when they need to. So, feels like they should be about 10, but it's hard to find nine teams better. See, I think 10's low. They have three SEC wins, including over a top five LSU at the time. They've earned that ranking. Absolutely lost in the sauce after that win, 3-0 in the SEC. Already beat two of the teams that beat them last year. Kiffin can do what DeBoer did in Athens. Rebs are going 12-0. Get at me. That was a grown man drive to end that game from the O-line and at the end of the first half. So here, let me get those drive charts. Ole Miss at the end of the second quarter. Come on, give me the plays here. Give me the plays. Okay, I guess I'll have to go to play-by-play. Second quarter. Okay. Here we go. All right, Ole Miss gets the football on their own 31 with 2:16 to go in the first half. Big pass to Caden Lee over the middle for 30 yards. Goes to the 2-minute timeout. Lacey runs up the middle for 5 yards. Gets called back for holding, though, on Kutas. Deuce Alexander caught it for 25 yards on the LSU 22. It was a great catch, by the way. Trinidad up the middle for 4 yards. Lacey run left for 4 yards. Timeout LSU. Lacey up the middle, no gain. Timeout Ole Miss. Daquan Wright for 8 yards. First down Ole Miss at the LSU 14. Kewan Lacey runs left for 3 yards. Timeout Ole Miss, 18 seconds left. Trinidad pass complete to Caden Lee for a touchdown. That little rollout dump off to go from 10-7 to 17-7. They took basically the entire remaining time off the clock, going to the halftime up 10. Fourth quarter, LSU kicks a couple of field goals to go from 17-7 to 17-10 and then 17-13. So that's the end of the third quarter. Fourth quarter. Sorry, I'm having a hard time reading these drive charts because I can't read. Pass complete to Lacy for 7 yards. DeJean's dribbling over the middle for 12. Lacy runs left for 11. Chambliss to Trey Wallace for 18. Chambliss to Odom for 12. Chambliss to Lacy for 8. Lacy up the middle for 12. Lacy runs left for 3. Logan digs up the middle, touchdown. So that puts Ole Miss up 24-13. And that effectively ended the game. Those two drives at the end of the first half, and I think that was an 5-minute drive for Ole Miss in the fourth quarter. And then even LSU's touchdown drive took 6 minutes off the clock. So right before the half, there's just over 2 minutes left. Ole Miss runs a beautiful 2-minute drill touchdown. LSU cuts into the lead. Ole Miss just boom, 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 touchdown. And then LSU turns around and scores, but Ole Miss defensively did not allow it to be explosive plays. LSU really had to work for everything they got. And so even though they went and scored, they had to get a stop or else it was ball game. They only had one more opportunity, and Ole Miss bled the clock out. It was just complimentary football all day. Big drives, big possessions from the offense, clutch stops from the defense. And then even when LSU scored, they had to work their tails off to get there. So don't know how you said Trinidad after knocking off a top four team. Yeah. You're in the middle in the quarterback situation, like both these guys a lot. Trinidad was so poised. His mobility was obviously huge. And that throw on 3rd and 14 was fantastic stuff. Yeah. Environment was outstanding. It really was. Lively, awesome. Offensive line has proved us wrong. They're getting better week by week, for sure. Eccles is him on the D-line. He's really coming on. And they're starting to get really productive. Was in the student section, loudest. One of the loudest games you've been to at the Vault. Made a difference, especially getting LSU to jump at the end. Yeah. That Lacy run, dragging half of LSU's defense with the stuff of legends. He's got balance. He's got vision. He's got top-end speed. He's hard to bring down. He's a complete back. He's absolutely just a complete running back. And what a difference he's made for that team. Defensive line was better than the stat line showed. I agree completely. Don't forget, a sack was taken away from Womack as well. But yes, Nussmeier was pressured a lot in this game. And you can see the yards per attempt and yards per completion. They got the ball out of his hands pretty quick. He was under pressure most of the game. He's a veteran quarterback. And, you know, I know everybody's doing the, well, Nussmeier sucks thing. And I mean, I think that the Saints fans that want to tank for Nussmeier are absolutely insane. I don't think he's a top five pick at all. But he certainly doesn't suck. He was the only returning 4,000 yard passer in the SEC last year. He's very experienced. And he was really good about getting the ball out fast. But that, it was a problem in and of itself because the Ole Miss secondary, also linebackers tackled really well in space, and he got the ball out fast, but Ole Miss's back end played so well that he had not much to show for it. Oh, gosh, how about the drama with Ben Garrett on 3? Yeah, look, I don't like to weigh in much on stuff that I don't know much about the inner workings of it, but I will say now that he is off the beat, if you are going to very publicly fire somebody that has been working, covering Ole Miss for as long as Ben Garrett has, you better have a damn good reason to do it. And clearly that was not the case. And on 3 stepped in and made it right. And Ben is back working where he needs to be working. and the other guy is no longer doing half and half covering Ole Miss in another school. It sounds like the right decision was made here. I think that's about all I need to say about it, I guess, because again, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I do know that, and especially the timing of it. I mean, what did you think was going to happen there, man? When you decide to air out dirty laundry between you and a colleague, the night that he just provided your site content of a top five win, how did you think people were going to receive that? How did you think that was going to go? And then you have the advertiser in question stepping in and coming to Ben's. It is just a total. You guys remember the Chappelle skit when Keeping It Real goes wrong? Yeah, that was when Keeping It Real goes wrong. And I was glad to see that Ben is back where he should be, and that's covering Ole Miss sports. So good end result for somebody that. You know, I haven't spent much time around Ben, but I did get to, you know, talk to him a little bit at Media Days. And I mean, he was just as pleasant and kind to me as anybody possibly could, and very complimentary. And I really appreciated the way he talked about me to me. So I thought that was cool. And I'm glad to see him back. If it wasn't for all the penalties, it would have been a blowout. Yep. Ole Miss had double the penalties. I forgot to mention turnovers. Ole Miss, I mean, think about this, guys. If I'd have told you that Ole Miss, going into the game, Ole Miss will lose the turnover battle and have double the penalties, you would have said, oh, God, how bad did they lose? That's why, going back to what I said before, Ole Miss dismantled LSU. They lost the turnover battle and doubled them up in penalties. They were the better football team, without a doubt, unquestionably. You haven't been able to say that. Even, you know, sometimes you in college football, you just have upset wins. And, of course, Ole Miss was the favorite. But you have wins that happen where the better team loses games. Ole Miss was better than Kentucky last year, but not on the field that day. They weren't, but they were a better team. Saturday, the better team won. Should have won by more. Next thing you're looking forward to is seeing how Trinidad responds to a true road environment coming up in Athens. Luckily, they've got a couple of weeks to prepare, but what I really liked about what he did is he responded well to a mistake. He made a bad mistake, and he played well after that. He didn't let that get to him. It didn't rattle him. It didn't cause him to press. He made a mistake. It's going to happen. Quarterbacks make mistakes, and he just kept on plugging. He's a very mature football player, you can tell. How do you go back to Simmons at this point? You don't. How about how this team responds after going down early and things getting sideways, same as the Kentucky game, responding strong? Absolutely. It was going to be a blowout. It was. That interception on Nussmeier was one of the plays of the game, really swung all the momentum. Absolutely. And he hadn't thrown that many this year, but we talked about it going into the game. He was... Last year, he was good for a couple of bright, just kind of like one or two plays a game where you're thinking, what are you doing, man? And that was one. That BS pass interference on Jalen Braxton blew my mind. That was, shouldn't have been. It absolutely should not have been. Refs are going to nitpick, then they open themselves up to a lot of scrutiny when they miss the obvious penalties, especially when it feels one-sided. So, yeah, what's your overall opinion on the officiating of the game? So not every Ole Miss penalty was a bad call, right? Not all of them. But it's an unacceptable product. It's league-wide. It's basically every game. And look, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I don't think the officials on the field that day wanted LSU to win the game. I don't think that's what happens. I really don't. I'm sure individually at times that has factored into flags over the years. But generally speaking, I don't think the league office is telling officials what to do and who to pull for. You know what I mean? But I do think that these are people that generally are trying to do the right thing and make the right call, but it's hard to do. And it's hard to do in part because they are regular people. They have day jobs. They get paid a lot to do this on the weekends, but they're regular dudes. And the SEC's cut that they're going to take from Disney or whatever is going to be approaching $70 million. I think your football and basketball officials need to be full-time employees where they are constantly training, where they are scrutinized to a different level, and they're held accountable in the same way that they are at the professional level. It's unacceptable because there is so much money and so much importance on the decisions that they make, and they're not good enough at making those decisions. And they could be better if they did it for their full time. You're constantly practicing. You're constantly working. When you're not going to games, or when you're not at games, you are at practices during the week, constantly getting better at doing what you do. That needs to be in the whole, I'm talking the whole crew, not one guy, the whole crew. That's what needs to happen, in my opinion, to make it as good as it can be. I was a little surprised to see them all the way up to number four, but I think they've earned it. If you want to see how the program is sustaining, just look at this month of September. Absolutely. And now look at what they're doing and what they're about to keep doing in recruiting. Craig McElroy is still probably trying to justify the bogus PI. I didn't hear that, but 3-0 in one score games this year after being 0-3 last year. Here's your stat of the day, brother. Chambliss only threw a pick because the receiver gave up on the play and basically threw it back for the DB to catch it. Yeah, but still, he had a lot of green grass to run for a first down. That would have been the smarter decision. I think next time he'll pull it and run with it. If Simmons is healthy, do you think we see both quarterbacks play significantly against Washington State? I hope they don't start getting cute with this. Trinidad's earned it. He's your starting quarterback. Yeah, I mean, you play others when you go up, you know, 40 points because Washington State can't stop North Texas. So they're sure not going to be able to stop Ole Miss. So if they try to get cute and do a competition thing, it's going to end poorly. Just go with what's happened. If Simmons hits the portal, he hits the portal. You have an opportunity to be a playoff team. Go chase that. Don't get cute. Just go chase that. Starting to feel some 1998 Tennessee vibes from the team. Oh, now last year's team was supposed to be the team, but this one may be the one that breaks through. I think LSU's got a lot of 2024 Ole Miss vibes. Very expensive roster, super experienced quarterback. Holes in that roster, though. Coach doing weird things. Can't run the football. Wide receiver's ability to adjust to underthrown balls is wild, especially Deuce Alexander. That is his skill. He's awesome at it. Didn't hate the decision on the interception. Ball hit the receiver's hands and popped out. I didn't have the best angle at, like, whose hands hit who, but I did see it. I saw, from my vantage point, you could see the 20 yards of green grass in front of him to go get a first down. LSU taunting at the crowd and throwing up the land shark all game, but we aren't rivals or anything. Yeah, mocking your opponent's defensive celebration when you're losing a game is a stupid thing to do. Deuce Alexander needs to be considered one of the best wideouts in the SEC. The way he controls his body is art. He very well could be the best receiver on the team. Very well could be. Diggs scoring the game-winning touchdown against his former team has to be so emotional for him after the injury ended his time at LSU. No kidding. One of the most fired up games you've seen from Lane Kiffin. Did you notice he actually led the team on the field out of the tunnel to start the game? I don't think he's ever done that before. Like, ran on the field with the team. He very clearly looks more emotionally invested in this team. Not the results that the team does, because he has the clipboard stuff and all that, but I mean everything about the team seems more invested than he has been. Only concern about Chambliss is the batted balls. Yeah, on Ole Miss's field goal drive, I think Wright was open. I think that would have been a touchdown if not for a batted ball. Sage Ryan, Deshaun Womack, and Logan Diggs are all wastes at Ole Miss, right? Surely they wouldn't beat LSU or anything, yeah. LSU's most expensive roster ever lost to Ole Miss with a backup quarterback. How the turntables. Thing that stands out with Trinidad is that he scans the field and throws to whoever's open. He really does. He's very comfortable distributing the football and going through progressions and looking off safeties and doing all that stuff. Yeah. Think Simmons has the higher ceiling, but he has a ways to go to reach it. Chambliss is definitely the better quarterback at this moment. I don't think Simmons is the type who would leave either. I mean, he could. I just don't think that you can concern yourself with, well, he might leave. Look at what Lane Kiffin's done in the portal at the quarterback position. I just don't think that if you don't keep Austin Simmons that you're going to suddenly start being bad at quarterback. You know what I mean? You can't concern yourself with that, in my opinion. Do I believe the wide receiver room is the best in the SEC? Alabama's got an argument for sure. You know, people want to say Auburn, but they don't have a quarterback that can throw a forward pass and a coach that can scheme up anything decent. So, wonder how bad Prince Will's hurt. That didn't look good, did it? And he was playing well also. Alexander had his way on anyone who covered him, including former Mississippi recruit PJ Woodland. It's all that. Only nitpick you have on the defense is that the secondary was taking some bad angles at some points in the game. Yeah. Yep. Rush 3, drop 8. LSU still couldn't run or give Nuss consistent time. Yeah, I think I saw a stat where, I hope I remember it correctly, where Ole Miss brought 3 rushers on, I think it was 43 snaps and created, I think it was 18 negative results on 43 snaps. Something like that. And included in those negative results are incomplete passes. But I think it was 18 of 43 times where they only sent 3. The play, it was a negative play or an incomplete pass. Something like that. The Barry and Brown curse is broken. Easy. Bye week couldn't come at a better time. Yeah, having to get back up for another SEC game would have been tough. Difference on the wide receiver units this year is that they don't really have a one wide receiver like a Trey Harris. Everyone can make plays, which allows Chambliss to look around. See, I think that you do have a couple of receivers that are possibly as talented. But they just distribute the football much better. Did I go over the recruits that were in attendance at the game? I'll be honest with you, Cole. Recruiting is not my forte here. I'll talk about them when they commit and on signing day and when the portal ones happen. But I do not cover recruiting in that way. And the reason I don't is simply because I think if you're going to cover recruiting, you have to do it the right way, which means you have to do it all the time. You have to be constantly doing it. And I don't think it's worth my time or my audience's time in this era to constantly be talking about high school recruiting. It still is important. And Dorian Barney flipped from Michigan to Ole Miss today, 4-star defensive back from Georgia. So there's that for you. Kiffin and Weiss are what they needed this year. They've been awesome. They've been awesome. Sidebar, thoughts on the other SEC games. Sad to see Sam Pittman go, but we knew that this was inevitable. When he hired Bobby Petrino, he was going to get fired midseason, and Petrino was going to get an audition to be the full-time head coach. I don't think he will get it regardless of what happens, but this was always going to be the result from that. Auburn, Texas A&M, Hugh Freeze's offense is a joke. It is an absolute joke. Their touchdown only came off of what was a long interception or fumble, right, that Auburn took all the way down to about the two-yard line. Here, I think I saved their stats. Hold on. Did I save it? Well, there's this one. Jackson Arnold threw 33 times for 3.8 yards per attempt, and Auburn only gave their running backs 8 carries, but they went for almost 5 yards per carry on average. Hugh Freeze, everybody. It's almost like people like me tried to tell Auburn people, this is what you were hiring. This is how it's going to happen. You're going to have weird off-season stuff. You're going to have a team that, like, they're going to recruit good players, but there's something in the offense that doesn't make sense anymore. This idea that he's some kind of quarterback guru is not founded in reality. It's not evidence-based with Hugh Freeze that he's a quarterback expert or whisperer or anything. He's not. He has not developed great quarterbacks in his time. He has not. Bo Wallace was a junior college product. Chad Kelly was a Clemson/junior college product. Both of them refined players by the time they got to Ole Miss. He's not this quarterback guru. Peyton Thorne is better than Jackson Arnold. Jackson Arnold was better at Oklahoma behind a beat-up offensive line, missing 6 receivers, than he is at Auburn. Anyway, Tennessee, Mississippi State, fun game, really fun game. I don't think you make a change yet if you're Mississippi State, but Blake Shapen can't continue to play at this level. And then get back to a bowl game. He's really got to play better than he did Saturday, because Tennessee gave up some passing yards and both of their starting defensive backs were out and he wasn't good enough. Ran the football nicely though. They're tough. You got to wonder if it's going to mess with their psyche if losses start stacking up for Mississippi State. I mean, they are 4-1, but it only gets more difficult. I mean, they're at College Station. You know, maybe the Florida game's not all that bad considering, but they're at Florida. Texas comes to town. I mean, Georgia comes to town. They have to go to Missouri. It's just a murderer's row. I mean, even that game at Arkansas, you've got Bobby Petrino, who put up almost 60 on them last year. So thought you could tell there was a confidence in the Ole Miss fans that their team would win the game. Man, the other side of it too, I know fan podcasts and stuff, like, you know, they say dumb stuff on things like that. You know, there's nothing to do in Oxford, all that crap, you know. And I don't know how people consume that kind of content, but they do. And so that's, you know, good on them. But That kind of stuff, that it was extra going into the game from, like, the podcast, like, fan show thing, and even just like media in general. The more reputable, what we're not seeing the warts of the team that a lot of us saw. Very hard to quantify it, but I think the effort that they got from Arkansas and Kentucky is different than the effort those teams are putting on now. 100%. Absolutely. The Arkansas team that played Notre Dame, they had quit on their head coach Saturday. They quit. They did not quit in Oxford. I think they get one of two out of Oklahoma or Georgia. Def got to be ready for the Egg Bowl. Going to be better than State, but the Egg Bowl can get weird, and it has each of the last 2 years. Chambliss for Heisman. Is that possible? It is if he keeps playing at this level. His odds are in the top 10. Oh, shoot. Follow-up comment says he's fifth. There you go. Do you start preparing for Georgia now? I have no doubt in my mind that they are going to spend the bye week preparing for Georgia. No doubt in my mind. Washington State. And then the next comment is, no, you start preparing for Washington State. They have so many people on staff that, I mean, they have, in the summer, when the season begins, they have like a pre-planned scouting and all that stuff on every team on their schedule by the end of the summer. So Kiffin made reference to that in a press conference during training camp. But Washington State's awful. Let's see. Let me tell you just how awful they are. They're 3-2 right now. They did open with a win over Idaho where they won 13-10. Then they beat San Diego State 36-13. And then they lost to North Texas 59-10. They lost to Washington at home 59-24. They did beat Colorado State on Saturday 20-3. They also have an off week this week as well. Their next game is Ole Miss. But, yeah, they're definitely going to start looking into Georgia. Absolutely. These Florida fans are desperate and beyond delusional. Just ignore them. It's just there's no reason to even think about it. Don't even think about it. I'm way behind on comments. I'm going to go rapid fire, okay? We're almost at an hour. I can't read them all. I don't want to skip either. I hate skipping, but there's too many of you guys in here right now. Maybe it's because I'm young, don't have the same experience as an Ole Miss fan, but when Ole Miss goes into a game, I almost feel like they will win other than the 2023 Georgia game because Lane Kiffin is winning at the highest level in the history of the program since the early 60s anyway. I think the bye in Wazoo come at a perfect time. 2 weeks to sit on the LSU win and prep for that two-game road stretch. I agree. Something about losing back-to-back Georgia and Oklahoma scares you about getting in. The Egg Bowl looks a lot harder now. I think they go 2-1 in those games. Yeah, losing back-to-back games would be tough. You wouldn't love that. If Ole Miss has two losses going to the Egg Bowl, could it be the most important of all time? Yeah. Absolutely, you can make that argument. Go 1-1 with Georgia and Oklahoma, and you're hosting a playoff game. At that point, you're talking about playing in the SEC championship. Some of the trolling yesterday was epic, from playing neck to calling Baton Rouge. So I'm a stick in the mud, all right? Here's my stick in the mud. Here's my stick in the mud take. I think neck is trashy. When LSU does it, I think it's trash, and they shouldn't do it. And screaming that at a football game, to me, is trash. I think it's trashy when they do it. I think the media members, these super soft media members that are so holier than thou, and I mean the virtue signaling that they do, and then they turn around, they're like, oh, let the band play neck, but also respect women. But hey, let the band play neck. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. They're shouting that, and then you're also turning around and talking about like the political stuff that you do. Those two things don't jive to me. I don't think they should do that. I think it's gross. And so that was, I know I'm a stick in the mud, yell at me, boo me, whatever. I did not like the screaming, what comes with playing neck. I didn't like it because, and in part, again, I know I'm a stick in the mud. We were still in the stadium and my almost 6-year-old asked me what they were yelling. I mean, I don't like that. I think it's trash. That's just me. Don't yell at me, please. Kiffin and staff dance circles around Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's the most overrated coach in the country. Now that Arkansas has made a move and Auburn is floundering, over under 3.5 coaching changes. I don't think Hugh Freeze is getting fired. I think they'll win enough games for him to see another year. Would love to see Ole Miss versus Indiana in the college football playoff. Indiana's good. I just don't think they have the athletes that Ole Miss does, but they are good. They're legitimately very good. They're clearly better than everyone on their schedule other than Georgia and Oklahoma with Mateer. Yes, and I think those are pretty even at this point. Predicted 11-1 before the year. My naivety may have been a good thing. Maybe you were just right. Georgia will be the first test for Chambliss because he will be on the road for the first time. Yeah, but it's not the first test, but I know what you're saying. It's the first test of that nature. He got tested Saturday. That is an objectively super high-level LSU defense, and he was great against them. Thoughts on the decision to go for it on fourth as opposed to the field goal? I think that's a great decision. Lane Kiffin has picked his spots on the fourth down stuff. That was not an analytics thing. That wasn't analytics. That was go win the game now. People so overuse the term analytics, it's not even funny. What kicking a field goal does there is creates an opportunity for LSU to tie the game, okay? So if you make the field goal, yes, they have to go down and score a touchdown to tie, right? So that a lot of things have to happen. But field goals aren't guaranteed either. So it's a long field goal that's not guaranteed. If you miss it, you give them good field position, or God forbid it gets blocked. And even if you make the field goal, LSU still has a puncher's chance at tying the game. Whereas if you make one play for 3 yards, the game is over and the game cannot be tied. You cannot lose. If you make it there, the game is over. That's not analytics. That's just smart coaching. That is not anything, you know, it's not even reckless. I mean, Kiffin said after the game that he got on the headset with Pete Golding, and Golding was like, no, you go for this here. That's what you do. Because that's what you do. That's not analytics. That's just smart, thoughtful coaching. Get 3 yards and you have no possibility at losing. Make the field goal. You can still lose the game. Field goal is not guaranteed, even though your kicker's awesome. It's not guaranteed. So many things can go wrong. So many things can happen. Get 3 yards, game is over. It's an easy decision to make. Is Daquan Wright the best tight end in the country? Oh, I don't know if he's the best, but he certainly needs to be in the discussion. He's awesome. ESPN talking about how loud the stadium was awesome. And I mean, you know this. They go in every stadium in the country every week. So offense has been better about holding the ball at the end of games to run the clock out. Kentucky now LSU, they successfully ended games. Play calling, Kewon Lacy, offensive line. That's how that happens. How's recruiting not exploding? Wide receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs should be fighting to get an Ole Miss offer. Well, they're recruiting well, but don't forget, Benny, they use the portal. They do. I mean, Alexander, Wallace, Stribling, Daquan Wright, all portal. So they use that as well. Alexander, I think, is the best receiver on the team right now. Feel like they ran the ball better than the stats show? Because they did. I mean, again, I keep saying this. That's an elite LSU defense. So when you run for 3.8 per carry on that defense and are able to move the chains when you need to, that's a good day. I mean, that's just a good day on that defense. The 3rd and 14 throw to start the third was clutched by Chambliss. Yeah. He's really good. Can't rely on the refs to call pass interference every time and not give up on the call. Yeah, Have to feel for Austin, but Chambliss absolutely changes the dynamic of the offense. I think so. Game reminded you some of the 2021 game versus LSU where they went down 7-0 early and scored 2 touchdowns at the end of the second quarter to make it 17-7. Yeah, I remember they were losing that game early. That was a good day too. Watch them drop to eight before Georgia for no reason at all. Yeah, the AP poll is not making really any sense anymore. Wide receiver core is in good hands in the future. Absolutely, with Watkins and Alexander. And I mean, I'm curious to see what they truly think of Treylon Ray, for example. Sam Pittman getting the can. Yeah, I saw some people say like, oh, an offensive line coach just became available. It's like, do you see what his buyout is? I don't know if he's just jumping right into assistant roles right now. Ricky Fletcher hurt. I don't know what that is. Thoughts on the Ben Garrett Billy thing? Rewind. I gave them a little bit earlier. I wish I could tell you a timestamp, but I did mention it earlier. Last year, the bye coming after Georgia did them no favors. Had a tough game right after it. Glad they have a cupcake game this time after the big win. That does help. Braxton finally playing, and he played pretty good for his first time back. Yes, he was good. He was good. Pros will not like Nuss's demeanor, unlike Jackson. Well, I don't think the pros loved what they saw from Jackson after the Florida game, but yes, and you saw it today, which, by the way, kudos to Jackson Dart. That's a hell of a win. It's a good Chargers team, and the Giants were reeling a little bit. Now I've got to root hard against Jackson on Sunday, but impressed by State's ability to play hard against Tennessee. That's a bowl team for sure. Just for your injuries and depth, they're going to kill them. Yeah, and they got really banged up defensively too, so they're already really, really thin on that side of the ball, and it got worse. So LSU, before their final drive, had 24 yards rushing. Amazing. It really is amazing. Had penalties for legit holding, but just almost felt biased on the refs. I talked about it earlier, but I don't think it's bias. I just think they're not good. The 230 slot fits Vaught Hemingway so well. It looks great on TV. It really does. Is it the red? Is it just the color red in the golden hour that really pops? What is it? Office is going to hate you all season long, surrounded by purple and gold. Mary, you strut your stuff on Monday. Lacey's the best back under Kiffin at breaking tackles, extra yardage. Ooh, Quinshon was elite at that too, though. Moscona was too confident LSU was going to roll by double digits. I like Matt Moscona a lot. I have enjoyed being around him the few times I've gotten the chance to, mostly at media days. But he sure as hell was confident, too confident. I loved the, like, there's no way to think that LSU is losing the game line. It's like, yeah, there is. They can't run the football, man. It's hard to win games when you can't run the football, and sure enough. Trinidad played through adversity and mistakes and did well. Side note, the Egg Bowl in Starkville is looking a lot more tough. Yes, it is. And yes, we did see how Trinidad responded to adversity. Gosh, I am so far behind on comments, it's not even funny. I'm not going to get to them all, guys. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to try to scroll quickly and see if there's anything that pops up. I mean, I am 30 minutes behind on comments, so. Roughing the passer penalties have been overused. I agree on that. They're really throwing them too much. Strip fumble against Arkansas feels really important now. No kidding. Let's see. How would you rank the SEC after this week? Oh, my goodness. Is Ole Miss one? They've got to be, right? Ole Miss one, Alabama two? No. Ole Miss won, Missouri two until proven otherwise. Alabama three. I know they just beat Georgia, but they lost to Florida State and were embarrassing in doing so. That game still counts. Although I think that if they lined up again, the game wouldn't go like that, but it happened. Georgia, Tennessee, LSU. No. I'm missing A&M. You got it. Let me think on it. Well, we'll get there Tuesday. Looked like Lee got hurt. Yeah, he did end up getting better. Austin, thank you for the super chat, man. Really appreciate you. How'd you rate the crowd? It was like a 8.5 out of 10. Close to being elite when it comes to crowd behavior. Getting close. Not there yet, but getting close. Think Georgia's good. Bama just has their number. Happy Sanderson week. Yes, it is Sanderson Farms Championship week. Seriously. Hey, guys. Seriously. If you live in the Jackson area and you like sports, Ole Miss is off this weekend. Kind of a light slate in the SEC. The PGA Tour with a good field, like surprisingly good field, is in Jackson this week. The organizers do a great job. It's fun being out there. The weather is usually absolutely perfect. They've got screens to watch the football on, great players. And if you have a kid under the age of 17, they get in free. So I would encourage you to check it out and come see the PGA Tour in Jackson. They need some good attendance this week to try to sell its future viability. And this field is too good to ignore. I think it's the best one that they've had overall since I've lived here. I mean, truly very happy with what it looks like. And if you're a sports fan, I would encourage you to come check it out. Scrolling. Sorry. 3.8 yards per attempt for Jackson Arnold, but they're paying two receivers over $1 million. Makes sense. Yeah, because their coach doesn't know how to manage a roster. Almost got the respect from Vegas and delivered. Yes, a lot of money on LSU, and they didn't move that line at all. Almost going to be the high-ranked team in Athens. Imagine that. That's insane. That is really insane. Last time Ole Miss was in the AP top 10, 5 years in a row, the presidents were Eisenhower, Kennedy, and LBJ. Wow. Stat of the day. Second stat of the day. What is neck? Just Google LSU neck and you'll see all you need to see. What's going on with Caleb Cunningham? Nothing. He's a true freshman, and he's not ready to be on the field yet. I hope I'm not coming off as cross here, but so many people, like, the offense just put four really good games together, really three, like high level games in a row, just one after another after another. Why are we asking about somebody that's not involved in it? You know what I mean? It's just like, whose spot is he going to take, right? Is he going to take Dejon Stribling's spot? Why? What has Stribling done to earn a demotion? You know what I mean? It's like, what's going on with Caleb Cunningham? Well, look at the offense. He's a true freshman that joined the team late, and look at what they're doing offensively. That's all it is. I wouldn't overthink that too much. James, I disagree with you. You say Kiffin's a good coach, but his team is not great this year. They're good, but LSU's defense is hot trash. LSU's defense is not hot trash at all. Are the Saints ever going to win a game? Yes, this Sunday. I think they're going to beat the Giants this Sunday. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. I know Jackson Dart, I shouldn't say that. I should be happy for him, all that stuff. But I actually do think that the Saints are going to win on Sunday. I really do. So. We went really long tonight, but I don't care. That was awesome, and I'm really glad that all of you guys are here. I'm sorry I skipped over so many. It's just we would be here for 2 hours if I read them all. I hate not reading every comment. That's kind of the whole point, but I don't want to be up past midnight. So I really appreciate you guys. We'll be back live on Tuesday. And looking forward to seeing you guys there Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. We'll talk bye week stuff and, you know, whatever else. So really appreciate you guys, and I'll see you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.